long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope. They give us strength.
Well, welcome everyone to Sunday Morning here with Robin Walter, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. God bless you for tuning in. Before we get going here, I never give this out on the program. I don't know why, because, well, I just don't think of it. But if you want to reach me for whatever reason, good, bad, indifferent, doesn't matter, you can do so at redskyradio777@gmail.com. That's redskyradio777@gmail.com. As we always do, it's time for prayer, is it not? Yes. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, Lord God. I just submit this program to you. This isn't my program, this is yours. And I would ask that anything that I have planned to say that is actually not of you, that it somehow just gets erased. And that which I haven't even prepared for, but that it is from you, and you want me to share it as a conduit to the church that's listening, I ask, Father, that the Holy Spirit would impart that unto me at the appropriate time in this program. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, a couple of things. First of all, when you're listening to this program, some get it on Saturday, some on Sunday, I am planning to go to the Charlie Kirk Memorial service, which is at the State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona, about 40, 45 minutes from where I live. And I saw the speaker list, and of course, it's Erica Kirk, needless to say. It's Trump. It's Vance. It's Hegseth. It's Marco Rubio. It's Tucker Carlson. I mean, and they haven't even gotten all of them, but those are the numbers that are lined up to speak at this event. And it's a Sunday morning service. And so I got registered in time. I think the bigger problem will be finding a parking place. But I have to also share that in our little community of Wickenburg, Arizona, there's a place, it's kind of a cowboy bar of sorts. They do roping and calf stuff there. They got a petting zoo, but they got country music bands. The whole nine yards. It's really actually quite a fun place. Well, they were going to have a memorial, a little candlelight vigil of sorts, Saturday night. This is a small town, and this sits in the middle of nowhere outside of a small town. They planned for 300, 3,000 showed up. 3,000. They had 8 minutes of nothing but motorcycles coming into a big expanded parking lot. They ran out of food. They ran out of beer. They ran out of water. They ran out of pop. Well, soft drinks out west. I still call it pop. They ran out of everything. As far as I know, who knows? They might have run out of toilet paper. I have no idea. But apparently it was just an incredible event. And so this event on Sunday kind of is building on a whole bunch of other things that are happening around the nation, actually. So I'm looking forward to that and pray that maybe God would give me some word or direction coming out of that. I probably will just keep doing what I'm doing until he directs me otherwise. But I actually thought that last week's message would be all that needed to be shared regarding the Charlie Kirk matter. And once again, I pulled another program out to put in something that God has given me in the last 24 hours, because it's based on new information, and I just need to share it. And the title of the message is it's The Romans 1 Path that Tyler Robinson Took. And I am big. I do not like expository teaching. There is a place for it. Jesus was primarily a topical preacher. He met people where they were and met their needs. The expository were mostly for the disciples, But for all the people he's ministering to, he was topical. He was not expository. So I struggle with this devotion to expository teaching when the situation calls for dealing with topics. I have always been topical, even when I was 15 weeks in the pulpit without a break. It was topical every week. What, God, what is going on right now that your word talks about and gives us direction that the people want to know? They want to have answers. Hey, I love 1 Peter, but 1 Peter can wait till next week if a situation requires that a different portion of Scripture be applied to deal with what just happened. I didn't expect much Sunday, and I was not disappointed. Because, in my opinion, the pastor just totally missed it. I don't know why, but he missed it. But that's another story. I'm not here to beat up on him. But in this particular program, this is one of those times where there's a section of Scripture that I have read so many times, I generally understand it, and the Lord directed me to go to this passage and read it yet again, and I did, and something jumped off the page, kind of slapped me up beside the face. I even mentioned one particular verse to my wife, and she turns and she looks at me and goes, oh my gosh, it struck her too. And so what we're going to go to, if you go to Romans 1, we got to get going on this thing because I've already spent 5 minutes, but Romans 1, this is going to bring into the contemporary a passage from Scripture that has immediate application, and it blows me away the degree of application. I was talking with a gentleman actually just yesterday, and I said to him, I said, you know, you ever had this thing where you've read a passage a bunch of times, and then you hit on it and something new comes out? He says, oh yeah, happens quite a bit. Well, that's great. It should happen a lot. But the reason some of these points don't emerge, or the meaning, or mostly the application does not arise at the time of just reading through Scripture is because we don't have an event in our life or in the life of this country or this world that has happened to which that application immediately applies. And that's when it comes alive. That is the Rhema word. It is forever new. It's as old as all eternity, and yet it is forever new. And this is just one of those times. So we're going to go to Romans 1, and I'm going to read starting in verse 18 of the first chapter of Romans. And then I'm going to come back and address this kind of the specific verses at a time. Romans 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust, one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves the penalty for that error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are debased. King James says not convenient, but the word there really in Greek is to do those things which are debased. Let's jump to Tyler Carpenter here, Robinson, the shooter. Okay, I don't know his background, but everybody says that he went sideways in the last year or two. His parents seemed to be good people. He seemed to have grown up in a generally moral household. That's what everybody says. I don't know if it was just a good moral household, if it happened to be a moral household, if they're Mormons, if they are not Mormon, they're Christians. I mean, all what it seems is that he knew, Tyler Robinson, he knew what was right and wrong. He knew. It's because his parents have said so. This is not the way he was raised. He knows what was right and what was wrong. And so when his parents called him out, they were calling him out for a suspicion of unrighteous and, in this case, deadly criminal behavior, which they apparently have had some concern about over the last 1 to 2 years. So I'm going to go back to verse 18. Now think of this guy. Think of this guy as I go through these verses. I'll point it out. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So verse 18 starts out with, we're not talking about just your average, if I could call him Joe Blow, sinner, if you will, or some guy who's just grown up on the wild side. We're talking about somebody who holds the truth in unrighteousness. Doesn't mean the pastor, it's a left-wing decadent pastor from the pits of hell. It just means somebody who knows what the truth is, but they're holding it in unrighteousness because that's their behavior. That's the way they think. That's the way they act. That's verse 18. Now, if you will, verse 19 and 20 kind of go together, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Verse 19, God has showed it unto them. They're without excuse. Number 19, it just simply says, they're without excuse. Tyler Robinson has no excuses. Whether it's the heavens and the stars in the heavens and that which we fall back on, that everybody has some degree of consciousness that there must be an eternal being who put this planet into orbit. It goes beyond that. He's without excuse because he held the truth. He knows what the truth was, right and wrong, holding it on unrighteousness. He knows what's right and wrong. Therefore, verses 19 and 20, he has no excuse. Zero. Zip. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not, neither were thankful and became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Okay, because that when they knew God, what is said is that this kid had a knowledge of God or knew God in some fashion. Didn't glorify him, but became vain in his imaginations. His heart was darkened. He wasn't always queer. That's a recent development. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Going down to verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. Okay, so God gives them up. Look, you know what's right or wrong. You want what's wrong. You're holding the truth in unrighteousness as your foolish heart is darkened. You have these vain imaginations, which he clearly did. He fantasized about killing Kirk, but he had these other dark, deep, debased sexual fantasies that preceded that desire to kill. But it paved the way for the desire to kill. It says, God gave them up to the uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. So he gave them the lust. Two, dishonor their own bodies between themselves. So Tyler Robinson ends up in a queer relationship, a romantic relationship, the left tries to call it. It's disgusting. What is Matt, I can't think of his last name, from ABC News saying that while this is sort of, this is tragic, certainly, but there's a duality here because I look at this, the loving and touching words with which Tyler Robinson would communicate with his tranny queer lover, who he's now living with. Gave them up to the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now, I'm going to say something here. I have said a number of times before, finally, this event proves the statement that I've made a number of times correct. Transsexuals, the trannies, are homosexuals. They all are. All of them. I've made no accommodation for the last 4 or 5 years for any situation where a tranny was anything other than a homosexual who properly feels guilty, is duly ashamed of the way they feel, but instead of being delivered, they don't turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. No, they don't. Where do they turn to? They turn inward. And apparently the devil convinces them that the reason they are lusting for the same sex is because they really aren't the same sex. They are really the opposite sex. And so they start this process of, I say, quote, transitioning, end quote. Nobody can transition. Look, you can't, I don't care how much you try to transition, you cannot become a water buffalo. You can't become a light post. You can't become a pig. You can't transition to anything other than the way that what God has made you. And he did make homosexuals homosexual. There's no gay gene. Forget that business. So this whole transitioning thing is wrong. But it is, transsexuals are those homosexuals who cannot deal with their guilt and their shame, but instead of turning to Jesus Christ, believe that they must actually be the other gender. So they start this process of trying to become the other gender so that they then feel right about their lustful thoughts about the same gender. It's a way to try to rationalize their homosexuality beyond what we have typically seen, where there is no attempt to rationalize it other than the fact that they say, I was born this way, and they weren't. But the whole tranny world has brought on a new dimension here. So it goes on to say, that's verse 24. In verse 25, it says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creation. Now I have to tell you something here. This is the passage. This is the one verse out of this entire passage that has stumped me. I have not understood exactly. I mean, God, does this only mean that those individuals, because what this passage is, first of all, clearly stating, well, no, I'll get to that comment in a minute. But I haven't understood this about worshiping the creature more than the creator. Are those, does this whole passage only apply to those who are making images of a bull and falling down and worshiping it or something of that sort? Until what struck me last night, and then again in the middle of the night, serve the creature. Serving the creature. Tyler Robinson's texts were to his queer tranny attempting to transition lover who was a furry, who is creating themselves to be an animal, a creature, to which Tyler Robinson, did he worship? Well, in a sense he did. He said, my love, he referred to the creature tranny live-in lover as my love. I'm sorry I've let you down because my job is to protect you and to provide and blah, blah, blah. He was serving a lie. That's a creature. It wasn't serving a creator. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change a natural use into that which is against nature. This is an amazing passage. Even he's presumably talking here about men, and he really is, and clarifies that in the next verse, which I'll read in a minute. But he's saying even the women turned against the natural use of their body. Well, why would the women be less inclined to go into lesbianism than the men into just outright sodomistic homosexuality? Why? Well, the women are a little tougher because guess what? The men's role, the guy is a guy, kind of no matter what. The woman, however, can't bear children as a lesbian. Oh, you can do the in vitro fertilization. I don't even want to hear that in anybody's emails. Forget it. That's only been around a couple of decades. That's all. But go back to Sodom and Gomorrah, the time of rampant homosexuality. Go back to when God destroyed the world with a flood. Yeah. When God destroyed the world, we have had this problem from day one. I personally think Satan's a homosexual. I really do. Because he started the perversion, sexual perversion, with the demonic angels in Genesis 6, brought out again in Job, a couple of chapters in Job, about having sex with human women from which came the giants. That's pretty clear in Scripture. It really is. Not all, which are, some call the Nephilim. And I don't even want to get into that. That is a rabbit trail in the wrong direction. But the fact is, if all the women were lesbians, it's the end of the human race. Women, I think, have a call in many cases, not every case by any means, but there's a calling of nurturing the maternal instinct to have children. You can't do that. Can have it as a man, with homosexual or otherwise. The women have this calling amongst many of them, and that's why it says even their women did change the natural use. That's pretty bad when the place is overrun with lesbians, although I find it, because I'm a guy, far much more gross seeing homosexual behavior among men. Men do not care to. Real men don't want to see that. It brings out something in us I don't want to talk about. And I want to say to my black brothers, I think you guys have a more distinct negative reaction, I'm being kind here, to seeing that behavior than even white men who are real men. Real black men, I think, despise that behavior more than real white men. God bless you guys. I'm not ashamed of where I am because I stand there right with you. But, well, no, that's another rabbit trail. I got to hold off on that. Verse 27, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their sin, which was due. AIDS? Does that ring a bell, anybody? There are physical consequences to sin. Physical consequences to sin. I mean, you smoke enough pot and take drugs, you're going to have a fried brain. Or maybe a problem with the liver. There are all sorts of ailments that are, whether it's sexually transmitted disease, because somebody's sleeping around. There are consequences, and there are consequences to sodomistic behavior. Verse 28, I'm going to end this passage with this. and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Okay? Tyler Robinson quit going to church or whatever. He dropped out. Whatever good was part of the influence in his life, he severed from it. He separated from it. It seems as though he did not want to retain God in his knowledge. Why? Because retaining God in his knowledge would convict him of the sin that he was engaged in. So what did God do? He said God gave them over to a reprobate mind. What's a reprobate mind? It's a mind that's consumed with evil in every area of the life. Everything gets perverted. Everything gets polluted. Everything gets debased. And you see, he started down this path of queerdom, but then getting the tranny lover, and then came what? God gives him over to debased mind, and what's the result of that? Now he goes and gets his grandfather's 30-06 to kill a guy who only spoke on behalf of righteousness. That's the debased mind. That's the reprobate mind to do those things which were, in fact, purely debased and from the pit of hell. Now, is God going to use this for good? Yeah. Go listen to last week's message, because that's what I covered last week. But there are a few things here that I have to mention. In 2 Timothy, in fact, first, you can write these down. I think they are certainly worth writing down. They certainly have great application. I'll start with 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. It says, be not thou ashamed of the... No. That's 2 Timothy, sorry. 1 Timothy 1, 8 through 10. But we know that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. Okay, some people will say, well, you know what, you're talking about these whole homosexual passages. They're from the Old Testament. No, they're not. They're all through the New Testament, too, and here's one of them. That's the law. Well, here's Paul telling you what the law is for. The law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless, disobedient, the ungodly, the sinners, the unholy, the profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, manslayers, whoremongers, and for them that defile themselves with mankind. So who are we talking about here? Certainly, at the very minimum, practicing homosexuals. Go to 2 Timothy 3:3. 2 Timothy 3:3 says, I'll start with verse 1. Know this, that also in the last days, are we there? Well, we're getting there one day at a time. Perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, and without natural affection. I want to tell you here, the homosexual thing will only increase and become increasingly more ungodly. It is where we are in time. And Romans 1 details where we are, using Tyler Robinson as an example, a living, for a while anyway, example of the truth of God's word, right down to serving the creature, taking care of the furry, tranny lover. Hard message? Hey, most of the truth of the word of God is hard. Please listen to this. Thanks.
Sunday Morning with Robin Walter is a listener-supported program. Our mission is to prepare the saints to not just survive, but to thrive in the end times, through preparation, warning, instruction, and encouragement. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Hey, I have a quick prayer request for you, though. Please pray for my safety. I speak out. There's a list getting bigger all the time that the left wants to take people out. I'm not on that list. yet. Thank you. God bless you.